Hello and welcome to Rising Up Early. This is your host, Babette Ebeka. In this episode 19, I'm talking about motivation of the heart. In our 7 days, this was day 4, and we looked at Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, there is motivation of the heart. When we are doing our devotions to God, when we are serving a church, when we are volunteering, what is the true motivation in the heart? Jesus is even talking about prayer when you are praying, you know. And so this is a very, very powerful chapter. I pray that you take your time to meditate on it. We are in a journey of learning how to love God in spirit and in truth. Our life is a lifestyle of worship, and everything we do is worship unto God. And so this chapter is so, so helpful for us. And it's also going into where is the treasure of the heart. It's also going into how we are viewing our own lives. I mean, this is just awesome. So I'm going to let you listen to it, and I'll be happy to hear from you any comments that you have, any questions, in the name of Jesus. So God bless you. Matthew chapter 6
talks to us about motivation. Amen. This chapter talks to us about motivation. I'm going to read just a few verses because it's scattered verses. And then please meditate on this. If you don't spend time with the Word of God, you will not get anything from your fasting. Yeah. We want to get the maximum. Amen. We want to see glory of God. You want to see grace abounding, that you have more grace. You are growing in grace. It's not just about connecting to the phone line, but it's really about the fasting and the time that we spend during the day with the Lord. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. That's Matthew 6, chapter 1. To be seen by them. I jump to chapter 4, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of streets, that they may be seen of men. I jump to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. So the first part of this chapter, all the way down to verse 18, it talks about motivation. Motivation is when we do good. What is really hidden behind what we are doing? Motivation even in our religious activities, prayer and fasting. What is the real motivation behind it? Is it really because God is my bartender and I need him to do something for me? Or is it really because of God? Those are two different positions. Amen? Because this is what happens. When we come to God to get married, when we married, marriage becomes God for us. Yeah. Absolutely. When the real motivations behind the things we do is for so that I can get somewhere. When I get there, that's my God. That's my God. And you'll notice that that thing becomes the excuse not to do the things of God anymore.
Amen.
You no longer have the passion. Oh, well, God knows I'm married. God knows I have children. God knows I have to do this. God knows I have to do that. Now, God becomes secondary. Because we came to God with that motivation. Motivation is extremely important. Here, he's talking about being seen by men. But when he continues this chapter, you will see that he says, do not lay up treasure here on earth. So whatever it is that we are doing, we're striving, we're struggling for, what is it for? What is it for? Is it for my eternity, or is it for this earth? This is where it continues. Lay up treasures in heaven. Verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So what is the motivation of how I do my life? What is it that I count to be treasures for me? Because at the end of the day, where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. So that's where I say, when you continue, you push forward, you see, yes, you're doing things, don't do them for people, because that's, you know, you get claps, people clap hands for you, that's it, that's your reward right there, okay? But if you're doing them for God, you are laying up treasures in heaven. And when I'm living a life of prayer, when I'm living a life of fasting, when I'm living a life of sanctification, of consecration, of dedication, what am I doing it for? I better be doing it for my life in heaven. I better be laying up my treasures for heaven. Not that I'm seeking things for this life. Because if that's my motivation, that's my idol. Remember day one, we talked about idols. Amen?
Okay.
If you took the time to meditate on it, it would never leave your mind anymore. And it would come down to your heart and become faith. And we have the faith to put to death the things that are not honorable to God. Lay up treasures. That's where our heart is. We have to be careful. Yesterday we talked about good heart. Today we want to talk about what is the motivation behind my action. Amen? What is the motive? Why do I go to church? Why do I sing at church? Why do I do? Because maybe I sing at church just because, you know what, I'm running away from being in my neighborhood. Or maybe, you know, I just don't like being home because it's a toxic area. I don't like the environment in my house. I'd rather be here. So when I go there, I just go to sleep. There's a motivation behind. Make sure the treasures are in heaven. I'm doing this because of God. I'm doing this because I love Jesus. I go to church because I love Jesus. Yeah. I serve because I love Jesus. That means I don't care whether somebody sees me, somebody doesn't see me, somebody appreciates, somebody doesn't appreciate. It really doesn't matter. Somebody recognizes me, nobody recognizes me. It really doesn't matter. Because I love Jesus. Because there's nothing I can pay for the life that I've been given. There's nothing I can pay for the forgiveness that I received. There is nothing that I can pay for the purity that I got from God. There's nothing I can pay. So guess what? I give him all of me. I give him all of me. I love him with everything that I am because I cannot pay God for what he's done for me.
Hallelujah.
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 That's what it should become. That's what it should be, and that's the only thing it should be. Guess what? When it's that, you never stop. You never stop. And nobody put your fire down. No situation, no circumstance. Doesn't matter whether you have money or not. Doesn't matter whether you're homeless or not. Doesn't matter whether you are sick or healthy. Nothing kills your fire.
Jesus.
Motivated by the grace you have received. It's not motivated by anything of this. Glory to God. And finally, God said, if you want to walk like that, don't deceive yourself. The lamp of the body is eyes. Don't deceive yourself. If you're living a lie, nobody can help you. The lamp of the body, it means what? It means the angle of view. It means the perspective that you're looking at life through. And you can be lying to yourself. We go back to, we continue into the letters to the believers in the New Testament. You see that. It talks about this again, you know. Don't deceive yourself. When you love the things of the world, you think you love God too. It's not possible. God is saying, don't you lie to yourself. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is in darkness, guess what? Your whole body is in darkness.
Amen.
So if you are not doing these things from the beginning, from chapter 1, or from all of these things that I wrote, that I'm telling you about, if your motivation is not correct, if you're actually loving the things of the world, if you actually did, you cannot serve God and mammon. Don't lie to yourself. You cannot be storing up treasures for this world and for the next. No. Amen. God is saying, you cannot serve both. You cannot serve both. So the motivation is extremely important. Where is your treasure? What is it that you're working up for? Because you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. That is an information, a fact that God is telling us. He's not saying, oh, maybe you can work hard and do both, you know. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying it's just not possible. It's just not spiritually possible. You're going to follow one path. There's only one way. You're going one way, you're going the narrow way, or you're going the broad way. That's it. You can't be walking on both. No. And then he says, guess what? Don't worry. Don't worry for your life. You follow me. Amen.
Amen.
This chapter by saying, all these things I'm telling you, know, sometimes when we hear the real teachings of Jesus, then we think, so what am I supposed to neglect myself and not think of myself and that? That's often what comes to mind. But Jesus ended by saying, no, don't worry about your life. I got you. Amen. So no. Don't worry about your life. You worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your heart. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life.
Jesus.
He's saying, you follow me. You follow what I'm teaching you. You follow me. Don't worry about your life, because that's what happens to us as human beings. First thing thinking, well, God, if I'm doing all of this, I need to do some balance in my life. I think it's all about you and not all, and not some of it about me. No. You cannot balance God with your breath. Without your breath, you don't have access. God's not part of our balance. God is our breath and the heart beats inside. He's not on the balance. But many people think, well, don't I have to balance my life? No, you can't balance Jesus. Without him, you don't have a life. We don't have nothing. Just think about it. If I don't have my breath, what am I going to do? Can I go to work?
Yes, excuse me. There's a lot of interference. I can barely understand what you're saying. I think people need to mute their phones.
Hold on, let me see. He's making noise. I can mute it. All right. Thank you, Sister Debbie. Amen.
You.
Amen. So God Amen. Is saying, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Because this is really what kills our motivation for God. Because we are about our lives. We are about our lives. Even for most believers, coming to God is about our lives. Serving God is about our life. Coming to God has to be about our lives. That's the only way we come in. That's the way God shows us that he's here and he's available. But once we've entered in the door, we don't live by that anymore. To live, we have to live by faith. To live, we follow now Christ. All our eyes have to be focused on Jesus Christ. So he's saying, if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. Here's what our sister said. She said, every time we try to save ourselves from pain, we want to get out of pain. That's why we get more pain. God says to us, don't save your life. That's my job. That's my job. I'll take care of your life. You don't have to worry about saving yourself. That means you don't have to worry about your life. You don't have to worry about it. You worry about your heart. You worry about following me and obeying me. And you see all of his teachings there about what? Heart. Amen. Jesus is teaching about heart. Like even the actions that we take, where are they coming from? Amen. Where are they coming from? So we learn not to measure ourselves by our actions, but by our motivation. What is really behind what I'm doing? Amen. And at the end, God says, do not worry. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry that if you begin to give God all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, that you won't have any energy to do this or that or the other. No. Don't worry about this or that or the other. That's going to be taken care of, because God is able to give you more strength than you could ever get on your own.
God is able to have you lead a service from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., which I never knew I was able to do, on 2 hours of sleep. Hallelujah. God is able to make to give you so much energy and so much strength that you don't have to worry about your devotion to God, your sanctification, your consecration to Him. That has to take precedence. That we're paying attention to our heart. Amen. So this is our scripture for today. Take your time to go through Matthew 6. I bless God that yesterday, Sister Deborah already brought up verse 16. But take your time to read chapter 6. Take your time. Sit at the feet of Jesus. This is His feet, His word. He's speaking, and He will be speaking to you today in this chapter, just as He speaks to everyone who seek Him. Amen. Take your time, hallelujah, praise God, to read, to meditate in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. So, we're going to pray.
Glory to God, glory to God. There is so much in this chapter. I thank God for allowing us to understand, to hear, and to receive from the Holy Spirit in this chapter. If you have any questions about everything that you heard, please do not hesitate to contact me here at Jesus for All Evangelistic Ministry, JFA Ministry, and I will be so happy to serve you by answering and clarifying some of these principles. So let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I commit every single listener, oh God, into your hands. Lord God, I pray for all the things that we heard here in Matthew 6, so deep, so profound, so important. Father, I pray for your grace. I pray for the perseverance. I pray for your strength, oh God, that we choose to follow you, that indeed we lose nothing, that we really have nothing to worry about, that we don't have to worry about our lives, but we only have to care for your kingdom and to be righteous before you. Thank you for teaching us the lifestyle that gives you glory. I bless your name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our episode of Rising Up Early. You can stay in touch with us, and we would love to hear from you by sending us an email at info@jfaministry.org. You can visit our website to get free resources that help disciples grow to become on fire for Jesus. You can also follow us on social media using the handle JFA Ministry on Instagram, on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitter. So God bless you, and we can't wait to hear from you.